Peace be with you, and happy Easter. Christ is risen from the dead. Alleluia. Alleluia. Friends, the Easter proclamation is the strangest message ever delivered. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You know, we've heard that so often, and it's so part and parcel of our faith, but I think it's important to defamiliarize it a bit. We've heard this message for so long, we've taken it so for granted, that we've forgotten how really weird and strange and unnerving it is. But see, you catch that on almost every page of the New Testament. You know, like all human beings of all ages, ancient Israelites wondered what happens to us after we die. You can find that, of course, in the literature of the world. Everyone wonders about that. They pose the question, of course, in the context of their faith in Yahweh, the Lord. Well, many Jews of biblical times believe that really nothing happens to us after we die, that we go back to the earth and we just fade away. And indeed, you can see that belief reflected in a number of Old Testament texts. The psalmist, for example, begs God to preserve his life for, and I'm quoting here, dust cannot praise you. See, the idea is, well, look, I can praise you as long as I'm alive, but once I'm dead, I'm just dust, and dust can't praise you. Many Jews to this day, by the way, would hold to this ancient belief that death is just the end. Other biblical Jews held that after death, a person went down to a shadowy underworld called Sheol in Hebrew. Sheol, I guess, would be a bit like the underworld spoken of in Greek and Roman mythology. Think of the Elysian fields. Basically, though, Sheol was a place of sadness, boredom, gloominess. No one longed for Sheol or hoped to find any fulfillment in it. Here it's a bit like the underworld of the Greeks. Think of, you know, when you read Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, and when the great warriors die and they go down into the underworld, well, no one's very happy down there. It's just sort of a shadowy world. It's just a hint, an echo of the world above. Think of this now. You can hear it in the Hebrew scriptures. In another one of the Psalms, we hear, quote, "Neither do those who go down into the pit await your kindness." It's very interesting, isn't it? That pit is Sheol. And people down there don't await the kindness of the Lord. They're just kind of stuck in this shadowy underworld. Now, other Jews thought that occasionally a spirit might return from Sheol to visit this world. Think of that great story. It's in the first book of Samuel. When Saul, at the very end of his life, goes to consult the witch of Endor, she's called. She's like a medium. And he calls up from Sheol the unhappy ghost of the prophet Samuel. And Samuel comes up from Sheol, and he's a bit like the ghost of Hamlet's father. I mean, he's a pretty unhappy camper. Now, by Jesus' time, increasingly, some Jews began to speculate about the resurrection of the just at the end of time. The view here is that at the close of the age, at the end of time, the righteous would arise from the earth in restored bodies and would enjoy communion with God. Now, hints of this can be found in the book of Daniel, for example, but by Jesus' time, as I say, this belief was becoming more and more widespread. Do you remember when, in John's Gospel, Jesus is talking to Martha and Mary at the death of Lazarus? And Martha says to him, "Yeah, well, Lord, we know he will rise again on the last day." See, that's this belief, that at the last day, the dead will come back to life. You know, you can hear some of this debate is in the New Testament itself, between the Sadducees, who held that old belief that there is no resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees, who were embracing this newer belief in the resurrection. And we can hear in the pages of the New Testament the debate going on between Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, just to add a little more to the mix, some Jews, it appears, believed in some form of reincarnation. How do we know that? Well, some of Jesus' own contemporaries thought he was Elijah or Jeremiah or John the Baptist returned from the dead. So who knows? Maybe that we associate with the East, but that Eastern view of reincarnation, that was also in the air at Jesus' time. Now, to make things even more complicated, all these typically Jewish beliefs were mixed in with beliefs that came from the surrounding Greek culture. Now, we know about this. In fact, it's interesting to me how it's come into our common sensibility so much. The great Greek philosopher Plato said that when we die, the soul escapes from the body. The body is construed as something of a prison, and the soul longs for escape, and it goes to live in a purely spiritual realm. Read now the dialogues of Plato, and we hear Socrates longing for just this state of affairs, that he might escape from the prison of his body and move into the realm of the forms. Okay. That was the intellectual world of Jesus' time in regard to the question of what happens to us after we die. Now, Jesus dies on the cross. What did people think was going to happen? Well, I put it this way, perhaps the most spiritually optimistic of his followers perhaps thought at the end of the age, he would rise again along with the righteous. So again, the Sadducees thought, no, he died and he goes back in the earth. That's it. Perhaps many Jews thought he went down to Sheol, the shadowy realm. But the most optimistic of his followers might have thought at the end of the age, Jesus would arise with the righteous dead. Now let's look at these startling texts about the resurrection. These texts that still, 2,000 years later, shock us and unnerve us, disturb us. Notice, please, when Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus, comes to the tomb and she sees the stone rolled away and the body missing, what does she assume? She does not assume, oh, he's been raised from the dead. That just would not have been in her mind. She assumes, reasonably enough, that the grave has been robbed. Yeah, okay, this dead man is put in a grave. I come back 3 days later and the body's not there. Yeah, that's the commonsensical assumption. And it would have been congruent with the belief of most Jews of the time. Some say he died and he just disappeared. Others say he died and went to Sheol. Others say he died and will rise at the end of the age. But nobody was expecting that a dead man would rise from his grave. That's why this pious Jew, Mary Magdalene, assumes that the grave has been robbed. Common sense. John and Peter, upon hearing the news of the empty tomb, and again, they're pious Jews, they're not expecting someone to rise from the dead, they come running. Now, how come they're running? Well, because they fully expected Jesus had risen from the dead. No, I'd say not. I'd say much more likely they wanted to find out as quickly as possible what had happened so they could reclaim the Lord's body. They could find these grave robbers. Then we hear John comes to the tomb and notices something curious. He notices the burial cloths lying there, undisturbed. See, first of all, if the grave had been robbed, why would the grave robbers have bothered taking the body out of the cloths? I mean, the idea would be to get the body out of the tomb as quickly as possible. why in the world would they have unwrapped him and carried the body away and left the burial cloths in perfect order? I mean, it just struck John as this is not what a robbed grave would look like. Well, then Peter catches up. So he's a bit older, so John got there faster. Peter peers into the tomb, and he notices the same thing John did. Those burial cloths. But then something more. Listen. The cloth that had covered his head was not with the burial cloths, but was rolled up in a separate place. Now, what's being talked about here is the cloth or the napkin they would have placed over the face of the dead man, and then they wrapped the other cloths around it. So that cloth is not with the other ones, but is rolled up in a place by itself. Well, see, why is that interesting or strange? Well, even if we suppose, impossibly, that the grave robbers had unwrapped the body, why in the world would they have bothered to roll up the head wrapping and put it neatly in another place? See, these little details, and friends, doesn't this account from John's Gospel have the feel of something vividly remembered? Do you know what I'm saying? This feel, this instinct for the details, the odd little detail, that's not the way myth makers write. That's the way people who have vividly remembered something strange write. Well, these little details led the disciples to imagine something new, something that no one at the time anticipated or expected. Namely, that Jesus, who had been crucified and put to death, and mind you, he was killed by Roman executioners. They did not mess around. They didn't leave him alive on the cross. Trust me. They knew how to put people to death. That this Jesus, who had been crucified and died, was alive in the full sense of that term. Not his soul having gone to heaven, not going down into a shadowy Sheol, not disappearing into the dust of the earth, but this Jesus alive. Notice the last line of the passage for today confirms what I've been arguing. Listen, they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. See, no Jew would have. No one at the time was expecting that. But this is precisely what they experienced when Jesus stood before them after the resurrection. When he says, "Touch me and see that I have flesh and bones, that I am not a ghost." See, they weren't expecting that. Maybe at the end of the age, everybody would rise that way, but not someone in the middle of history. And then this breathtaking line from Peter's great speech in Acts. "This man God raised and granted that he be visible to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." That last line, still overwhelming in its realism. Friends, this is the resurrection faith that empowered the early church and sent the first disciples scurrying all over the world with unprecedented excitement. That's the Easter message, which still to this day fills us with the same awe and the same excitement to convey the message. And God bless you.